You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 174 of Another Woodshop Podcast, where this week we're joined by the queen of DIY. She picked up a hammer at 16 and used it to build a media empire around her and her projects. Now she uses her psychology experience to get into your heads and figure out exactly what you want to see in her videos. She uses her skills in DIY and she turns oh god why into oh my my. I am extremely excited to welcome the tiny but mighty Sam from the DIY Huntress.
Woo! Can I just like literally hire you to hype me up everywhere I go, because that was amazing.
He just like goes into a room before you and starts practice, saying all those things.
In a mirror, like just I keep pointing at myself.
Like anytime I enter a room, I'm going to need you to enter first and just do that entire thing all over again, okay?
Just the master of ceremony.
Wow.
And people are going to be like, oh God.
That is the reputation Sam. I want for myself for the rest of my life, is to be that.
And then they
woman.
Go, where is she?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of where are they, Dan?
Let's talk about our patrons and where they are. That was a very smooth transition. We nailed it. Let's talk about our patrons. We don't have any new patrons to announce this week. Breaks my heart. But I do want to still give a shout out to our VIP patrons. This week, they're coming at you in alphabetical order by email. And they are as follows. Justin from Cavalry Customs, Bill Burkle from WTB Woodworking, Jacob Miller from A Sweet Shop, Malcolm over at Bossa Nova Woodworks, Matthew Hoff of Matthew's Woodworking, Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines, Michael Flickinger, Nick Brim Woodworking, Patrick Gensel, Victor Aragama, The Square Splinter, Steve Iodorola, and Max and Mindy Coons of Stubby K Studio.
Woo!
Thank you to each and every one of you guys. We appreciate what you do for us. We appreciate all our patrons. If you want to be a patron in the Matt Army, you can join us over on patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and sign up over there.
Woo!
Love it.
Yeah, that's a great place. So we're growing our little meh army. And thank you to all of our 5-star meh generals with the $20 tier. You guys literally keep the lights on. And
we appreciate all our patrons. Yeah,
all of them, yes. Well, it doesn't keep the lights on at Dan's house. It's got that dark background.
No.
Yeah, it's real dark in there, actually.
I've been trying to get Dan to have like some nice background lights or something. You know, a little ambiance.
Well, my technology stops at like the microphone. The light is coming.
Light bulb is no longer technology, Dan.
No, the light is coming from a butane lantern.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I got like a nice $10 ring light staring at me. I'll send you my affiliate link and then you can like purchase that.
Ooh, she got him with the affiliate.
Okay, cool.
I only want to see it if it's through a TikTok shop. Well, the other people that are helping to keep the lights on is this week's sponsor. And next week's like thing that we're doing, Maker Camp. I'm super excited.
They're the hosts next week.
They're going to be the hosts. So we're super excited to have partnered up with Maker Camp because it is legitimately one of, or it's probably the most favorite event that Dan and I have every year. And really looking forward to it. Dan's flying in next week. We're going to pregame and then hit the ground running on Friday. Can't wait to get hands-on with all the stuff, make some projects and make some new memories, because it's always so fun to meet up with everyone. And Sam's gonna be there this year.
I know. She
almost bailed.
It got a little dicey there. Like, I actually wasn't sure I was gonna be able to make it, and now literally all I can keep doing is thinking about Maker Camp. I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
I love luckily, Maker Camp as much as I love a good meatloaf.
Which is a lot.
That is a lot. So that is a really big compliment for Maker Camp.
3 pounds of love.
I hope one day they make a poster and that is the endorsement that is on it with your name attached.
It like meat, a thing of meatloaf equals Maker Camp, just as great.
100%. Yeah.
Well,
I think I just found my Maker Camp giveaway swap thing.
Meatloaf? Oh God! But it has to be encased in resin.
Maker Camp was great. I give it 5 loaves of meat.
five meatloafs.
But, well, you mentioned the swap thing. That's one of the other things that's there. So obviously there's going to be a bunch of tents. There's going to be the woodworking tent, the jewelry tent. There's the woodworking tent and a whole bunch of projects within them. There's usually some kind of activity that is there that you kind of get to start one tent and go around like a scavenger hunt. You get to see some of your favorite YouTubers, content creators, and friends from the community. And there's three ways to join us. You can, of course, you can also join us virtually and follow our stories and stuff. But if you just have time to go up for the day and you want to check out the place, get to see everyone, you can do the spectator pass. It's only $23, guys. It's really nothing. It's so it's totally worth it. That's what we did the first year, Dan. We didn't even do the hands-on. It was great. I still had a great time. There's also the Maker Day Pass. So if you want to do a day pass, it's $90 or $93 plus some fees. And
is
then
that good for one day?
That's for the one day. I believe it's for the one day. You know what? Now I'm being... Yeah, it's a one-day ticket. One-day ticket. And then you have the full silver pass. So that's $243. Something like that, with some fees on there. And that's the entire weekend. And that includes your camping spot. And you can be hands-on with all the fun activities. So it's super fun. And that includes,
and
I believe, and Dan. You can be hands-on with Dan. That's one of their clauses. And of course, there's usually a barbecue of some kind.
Right,
so the barbecue I'm really excited for on Saturday or Sunday, whatever that is. So yeah, make sure to join us. It's not too late to sign up and get a spot. At least come up for the day. It's going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait. But right now, I can't wait to talk to our guest.
Hi.
Sam. It's Sam. Sam's
here.
Sam's here. Sam's here.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I didn't see her down there.
I know.
There.
So she Sam.
Miss me.
You're one of the few people we've had on multiple times.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I feel so special.
Exclusive
this
club.
This is what, two or three times now?
Two. I think my second time.
Two?
Yeah.
Let's make this a habit.
I
like
this.
This is this good. Is good energy. You know how to
second
yes
time
and.
Being on, seventh time we've invited you.
Yeah.
This guy. Yeah.
Her agent just doesn't get back to us at all.
Yeah. They tell us no.
Right
all the time
in the spam folder. It's awful.
You gotta like do that thing where you like catch me coming out of like an ice cream shop and you're like, we've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty.
Well,
that's how we get guests.
Sam, why have we been fighting to have you on? If you could explain to our listeners that have been living under a meatloaf who you are and why we love you and your content so much.
Aww.
Go.
Well, I'm Sam from the DIY Huntress. Actually, I've been having this conversation. Like, am I the DIY Huntress or is my brand DIY Huntress and I'm from DIY Huntress?
You have no idea how much I had to think about this myself when I was writing the intro. Like, is she
DIY
the?
Hunters. You have to say the.
Right?
Or is it?
You got to own it.
Is it like The Doors?
Yeah, right? Like, this is my band name. So, so I'm Sam. I'm, I guess, the DIY Huntress. And it still feels weird to say this, even though it's been a full year, but I am a full-time woodworker and home improvement content creator. It's wild to say that out loud, honestly, like in these things. It still feels weird, and it's been a full year.
That's crazy. That's I remember you went
awesome.
Full time right before Maker Camp last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a whole thing about like you
yeah,
trying to launch your Patreon.
Oh my God, that was such drama. I was so mad. Yeah. So like I basically had this whole video that was the weekend actually. I always do this thing where I love to post videos when I'm away at an event and then everything goes wrong. And then every time I'm like, I'm never going to do that again. And I never learned my lesson. Like, let's just put that out there. So this is 100% my fault.
Let's do it while you're at Maker Camp. You
oh.
can't get.
Oh, no. I literally have a really important
it wasn't
video.
That.
I have a very important video going up that weekend because, again, I don't learn my lesson.
Perfect.
So, yeah. So I was
every
launching.
Year with this.
I know, right? I was launching my big, like, I quit video that weekend because I was like, what a great idea. I'll launch it when I'm in the middle of the Catskills with no service. And my Patreon was supposed to launch that day, but Patreon forgot to toggle my page to public. Like it was still.
They didn't flip
yeah,
the
they
switch.
Yeah, they didn't flip the switch.
Didn't flip the
and
switch.
And they were supposed to flip the switch. Like it was like 2 days before. And I was like, man. So I was really bummed because I felt like I was so excited to tell everybody. Like, I'm full-time, here's, because people always ask, like, how can we support you? Like, how do we, people at the time were like, how do we get you to go full-time?
Nobody ever asked me that. What's that
oh my
like?
God, how can I support you? I'm here for you.
you're here, that's enough.
Just tell me I'm good
you
enough.
You are good enough.
That's really all I need.
And like, your mom loves you so much, and we love you so much.
Hey, Dan, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Wait a minute. I didn't realize we were going to get into psychology.
No, well, let's not. Let's not use your evil powers on us because we don't have to.
Yeah, kick those feet up. This is your first pro bono. Like, your first and only pro bono. Kick those feet up.
Let's do this at Maker Camp while drinking tequila.
I should just have a booth. I should have a booth like those fortune tellers did where it was like 25 cents and like they tell you your fortune, except I just like psychoanalyze
like
you.
Like the...
boozy therapy like with the DIY Huntress.
What?
I was gonna say like the like Lucy from Peanuts.
Exactly. Oh yeah, five cents.
What was my nickname? The DI Mind Huntress.
Oh yeah, the DI Mind Huntress.
Just has like a ring to it. I love it. when I start my own therapy practice, that might be what it's called. Just saying.
Well, I think the goal now is that you won't have to because you'll be a successful. Or you are a successful.
I was going to say, will be. Wow.
Media conglomerate.
It's good to have goals, Sam.
I have to say, though, like, now that I have been doing this full time for a year, there are definitely days where I do miss practicing psychology. And mostly, I think it's the biggest thing is that there's like a really special human connection there. And it really is such a rewarding field to be in. And like, not that content creation isn't, and it's very rewarding, like a different way, but I definitely like have moments where I do miss that. And so at some point, like I have to study for this test because it's not enough to have your PhD in New York. You got to do like this whole license and this test and this study program. So like my goal is to eventually do that so I can still practice like a couple hours a week and still keep that in my life. But yeah, I will say though, I do not regret doing the content creation thing full time. Like that is for sure not a regret that I have.
That's awesome.
I mean, doing this full time, you're probably not nearly as busy as you once were, right?
Crickets.
Yeah. Is that correct? Is that how crickets?
This is the one thing that people told me, and I was like, nah, that's not going to happen to me. But like everyone was like, you're going to be so much busier when you go full time because like you're not...
You have time.
Yeah, well, because not only that, but like you don't have a steady paycheck anymore, right? So like, especially if you're someone like me who very much relies on producing content and like sponsored content to pay my mortgage because like they're not going to accept resin as a payment.
Damn it.
Yeah.
We do. Well,
but yeah, so I definitely find myself saying like no to opportunities a lot less often and then like burning myself out a little bit because I just feel like I have to take everything that comes because I don't have a paycheck to fall back on.
You don't have a guaranteed income and you just want to make sure that there's money coming into the coffers.
Totally.
Right?
And like it's hard. And even though like I have so many streams of income right now, and you still fall into that mental trap, no matter how stable you are, of like, I'm worried that this is not enough when you're like an entrepreneur, you're a business person, right? Because you also have like, you know, your business expenses and then you want to hire people and you want to like grow your business. But then you like still worry about like, am I going to have enough money to feed myself some months? But like, it's so...
How much is ramen?
Yeah, right? Like, ramen is always an option. I will say like it, when you get to a point where you feel comfortable in your business, that fear is a little bit irrational. Like there is some of that irrational thinking that's happening because you know that you're going to be just fine, but it still doesn't prevent you from like working your ass off and like hustling all the time because you still have that pinging nervousness in the back of your mind, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's nice because I think it truly brings out what you genuinely want to do. Yeah, it's a bit of like a fight or flight, like, oh, I got to make ends meet. But once you're no longer like making ends meet, you're just doing it because you're passionate about it. I feel like sometimes with the job, when you're done, you just clock out. But like you don't give it your all because it's not yours, first of all. And second of all, it's like you're done. You don't have to think about it anymore. But when it's something you're passionate about, I feel like you want to keep the ball rolling, keep the good
vibes
going.
Always thinking about it.
Yeah, always thinking about it.
It's like a involuntary reflex of just thinking about
it. It's also like the curse of us being makers and having creative brains that are on overdrive all the time, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you do one thing and then immediately you're ready. You're so ready to do the next thing because that felt so rewarding.
That's nice of you to think that I'm creative. Thank you.
You are, Dan.
You are so creative and we love you. And
keep it going.
We support you.
This is a big support system. I love it. Well, let's backpedal a little bit. You touched on some subject that I have questions on, but let's kind of backtrack to this. And you started your blog 10 years ago.
Which is wild, yes.
Over 10 years ago. Yeah.
2012, and then, I pressed publish on my first post.
So it's almost 13 years now, right? So you got 13 years of that. You got 7 years of YouTube. 7 years ago, you got bullied by your blog audience into making your first video. Yeah,
and then I made one video and I was like, never again. And then it took me like basically 2 years to make another one.
But you did one. You started in 2016. So like what were the catalysts or what made you take those two steps? Because those are pretty big steps. First going with the blog, then I think you got your first brand deal 2 years later and you were like, well, I can make money with this. And then the YouTube, like what were the catalysts for all of them?
So with the blog was a funny one because I had just like always, so the reason, backtrack a little bit, like DIY Huntress is my brand name is because I used to get picked on by my family all the time for being like a bargain hunter and like always looking for deals and like on Facebook and Craigslist and like dumpster diving and like looking for cheap things that I could like customize because I was like a broke college kid. And like I was that kid in high school who like rearranged my room every week and I like bring home like a stranger's dresser. And my mom was like, why do we have 10 dressers in this bedroom? Like that was me. So like, for me, like I just was always building stuff. And like my dad taught me such great basics that like I was able to do so much stuff myself. And one day, one of my friends was just like, you should like blog about this and tell people how to do this stuff and show people how you're customizing these things you find on the curb and like how cool that is. And I was like, what the hell is a blog? Like I had no clue. I'm like, what is a blog? And so she told me about it and I was like, all right, fine, I'll start a blog. So I started a blog. And then I, with the blog, was like sharing stuff on Facebook and it just like really grew out of nowhere. And I was just, the next thing I knew, I had like at least 1,000 people within a couple months following it. And I was like, what is this? And then people were like, oh, you're making money off of this, right? And I was like, people pay you to like put things on a blog? I had no
idea. Tell me
more. I had no idea. But yeah, so I would say about like 2 years into that, yeah, like I finally was like, oh my God, people pay you for this because I got offered a paid sponsorship by DAP, actually. DAP Products was my first sponsor.
Oh, really? Back then?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I mean, I still work with them to this day. Like they were my first sponsor ever and we are still like going strong. Like, you know, they put a ring on it. I put a ring on it. Like,
oh, that's so nice.
But yeah, so that was kind of my journey into the content creation world and what a wild, wild ride it's been since then.
So you were flipping furniture before furniture flipping became cool and like mainstream.
Yeah. I mean, like that was,
you're like a furniture flipping hipster.
Basically. Like, you know, like, okay. So, you know, when you go into like, this is like kind of off topic, but kind of on topic. You know, you go to like a wine store and you see like a wine bottle with your date that you were born and they call it vintage wine. Like, and then you're like, oh crap, I'm old. Yes. So like sometimes I'll look at my content and I'll be like, yes, oh my God, I'm old. Like the things that I was like, but no, like sometimes like I'll look at them and I'll be like, yeah, like the stuff that I was doing back then seemed so cool. And now it's just like so outdated, but like furniture flipping was my jam for a long time until I started learning how to build custom furniture. And now I look back at that stuff and I'm like, who let me publish this? It's so embarrassing.
Well, it's still, I mean, you're still getting click-through rate through all that old stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think it's all dead. It's pretty evergreen content with blogs, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's there forever. It's funny because I still have some really popular posts from like 8-9 years ago that I want to delete so badly because they're so embarrassing to me, but like they're still doing well. Why would I delete it? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, as long as it's doing well, who cares?
Well, so, I mean, you're clearly crushing it. You've figured it out. Also we watched your live yesterday, or I did at least watch.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Dan's going to watch your live. But like you're clearly crushing it. And we love talking about, you know, especially for people that are doing this full time, because a lot of our listeners would love to do this full time, including Dan and I. You know, Dan is doing it full time, but like what are, you know, you talk about your revenue streams and having multiples, and obviously you don't need to throw out any numbers, but like, can you talk about what the revenue streams are? Like what supports what you do?
Yeah, totally. And I think that for anybody who's thinking about going full time, this is really important because you want to make sure that if there is one revenue stream that is not paying you out for a month, that you have other things that are supplementing that to a degree. And that pie chart is never going to be even. Like those revenue streams are always going to look different and pay you out in different ways. But my biggest thing was I knew that I wanted to make a certain amount of money every month off of passive income revenue streams before I was comfortable quitting my full-time job. Because if at any point sponsorships decided to dry up, which they're not, like, that's going strong for a lot of creators right now. But, you know, I just wanted to make sure that if sponsorships dried up tomorrow, like, I could still pay all of our mortgage. I could still pay our bills. Like, I could still go grocery shopping. So in terms of income streams, the ones that I really had set up before I left my full-time job were, I have ads that run on my blog, which there are different ad networks that you can apply for with that. I had revenue coming in from YouTube, so like ads on YouTube. I have plans that I sell online as PDF plans, so people are buying like a decent amount of plans. I sell apparel, so that's another revenue stream. Social media at the time was like doing well because there were Reels bonuses and like we all have feelings about that. But but there are still some social media streams. Like Facebook still pays out on ads pretty well if you're active on Facebook. So like that was a revenue stream as well. And then in addition to that, I also had the sponsorships lined up. So that right there is six that I had before I left my job. And now that I'm full time, I'm adding on to that. I just did recorded an e-course with, like, you know, some small creators you might have heard of, you know, like Cam from Blacktail Studios or Brad from Fix This Build That or Chris from Four Eyes or John from Lincoln Street. So like we just did a course.
Who are these people?
Like who are these people? So we just did a course, like that's gonna be another revenue stream. Hopefully people buy it. I think it's awesome. We're just sharing a lot of knowledge there for people who want to go full time. But yeah, like I'm constantly looking for different ways every single year to like try to add another revenue stream if I can.
That's awesome.
What I want to dive a little bit into the course thing. Yeah. What in general is in the course? Is it how to be a DIYer or is it how to do DIY as a full-time job?
Yeah, it's basically about how to leverage your brand online, right? So it's really tailored for people who want to do content creation full-time. Or maybe even don't want to do full-time, but want to learn how to like maximize their revenue streams and their growth on different platforms. So it literally, it's like a 5-hour course. It's so long. We each cover, you know, certain chapters. My big chapter, I talk about sponsorships, how to reach out to sponsors, where to start, what to charge, how to keep those relationships going for years and years. I share resources. Like that's my specific chapter.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And
I don't think there is any other course out there like that, is there?
Let's say no. Well, also too.
No, this is the only one.
I think the thing that's cool about this is like you have a bunch of makers and like while it's not tailored for makers, like really there's so much general information that anybody in any niche can talk about. Like the fact that you have five people who are all kind of in the same industry sharing their knowledge is really cool. And we have a live component. So like for anybody who purchases the course, at the end of the module that you do or the chapter that you do, at the end of the week, there's a live where like whoever ran the chapter, we have a live session with whoever bought the course and we can like talk about questions or like clarify things or kind of have Very like a cool. little bit of like a some quality time together. So it's really cool. If you guys are cool with it, like I'll drop a link and then if anybody wants to check it out.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. Absolutely.
But I think
and is this mostly video, audio, written? Like what?
It is full video. So we
full video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If it was a write-in thing,
because I ain't read no good.
You're good. We sat together for like 4 days and we like recorded all these chapters. It's going to be very comprehensive. We have like documents that go with it with resources.
I'm actually very interested.
And it's going to be great. And I think. I don't think, like, I know that this is going to be helpful. Like, I've been doing this for over a decade and just listening to these dudes, like, do their chapters. I even left that recording session and I was like, I have so many things to work on, you know? So even if you have been doing it for a while, I just feel like there's so much to learn and, like, so much knowledge to gain from it, which is really exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that. And for below that link, I'm also going to include yesterday's live that you did with John from Lincoln Street, which is basically them talking with a live chat about all things dealing with brands. And it's really good. It was phenomenal to listen to. there were some parts that I was like, okay, yes, I'm good. I'm doing that right. And then some stuff that I was like, oh, well, let me write that down. That's important. So it's like you're still going to walk away with something from that. And it's worth it. And you can also watch it with the live chat going during the thing. So you can follow along with the questions and stuff that people are asking. So that was a great watch.
Yeah, it was cool. I actually got to watch.
I'm excited for this course.
Yeah, it's cool. And I got to.
It was a great.
I got
watch.
To watch. Yeah, I know, right? You enjoyed it so much. I know. I actually got to like finalize watching my chapter because we've been doing like a lot of reviewing and edits and all these things today. And I was like, oh man, like I kind of look like I know what I'm talking about. You know, so like
you do.
It was kind of cool, but my chapter is like almost about 30 minutes of just talking about working with sponsors and like where to start and how to keep going. So I think it's really
when's
awesome.
That live?
When is the course?
When is it live?
The course is go. So there's like an open cart period where like you can sign up for a couple weeks, but then we're closing it. So the open cart period is going to be starting next week. And then once the, the class actually goes live, like that's it. So like you have to try to definitely get in there if you're interested, because we're really only doing those live sessions once.
Got you. Okay. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Now, speaking of revenue streams, there's one that you omitted, and I'm wondering if it is a revenue stream. Congrats on 2 years in a bike shop.
Yeah, thanks.
That's big milestone. Is that one of the revenue streams as well?
I guess like from a family perspective, yes. I guess from like a my personal business perspective, no, only because like I don't consider it an umbrella of DIY Huntress, but it's been doing great. I'm knocking on all the wood. 2 years, it's so wild. Like I just feel like you blink and 2 years goes by so fast.
Yeah. I remember you just like putting stuff on walls and building a counter for that place. And now it's 2 years.
I know, it's wild, but it's fun. And like, it's fun to see people get excited about it too. And like that, where our bike shop is, they had a bike shop that unfortunately closed like right at the beginning of the pandemic. And so that community was really craving like a bike shop. And so they've just been so welcoming and so cool. And like, we're just so grateful for the support, because running a small business, as you guys know, as I'm sure a lot of people who are listening know, it's not easy. And especially when you have the overhead of like an actual brick and mortar, like there's a whole other level of that not being easy. Yep. So we are just so grateful that we are just trucking into year two right now.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
I have one more question, which is like what's the next like revenue stream? We jokingly were talking about DIY wine, like Huntress, but like, is there any like products or a line of DIY Huntress furniture or rugs or whatever? I feel like that could very much potentially be in your wheelhouse. Like you have some kind of like line coming out
or
somewhere, like
the DI Mind,
the DI
psychology
Mind
podcast.
Yeah, psychology podcast.
Yeah, I think about this so often. Like at some point, you know, you think about like your lofty goals, and like your goals change all the time based on like where you are in life and your business. And for me, like I did not expect to be full time at this point in my life. Like I was still expecting. If you would have asked me 5 years ago, I was like, nope, I'm not leaving my full-time job. Like, that's not an option. And now that I am doing this full-time, I am always thinking about, like, what is the next thing that I really want to do? Having a home collection is definitely up there. Like, and I love designing furniture so much. Like, you should see my brain. If it was, like, a beautiful mind, you could see all the things, like, float around my head, like, all the time. The amount of designs that I just have, like, cooking up my brain or, like, on paper are so – there's just so many of them. I'd love to find a way to make that happen. I also think it'd be really cool to have, like, a Huntress home collection. Like, I just feel like that would sound – like, has a nice ring to it.
It just rolls off
like,
the tongue.
Exactly. You go into Target, and you're like, oh, my God, that's Sam's stuff.
Right? Like, how cool would that be? Like, yeah. What a dream. So that's definitely on the list. But I think in terms of, like, my next big move, I'm not going to lie, I would freaking love to, like, flip a house with my dad. Like, we did that when I was a teenager, and they were houses, like, he flipped for other people as, you know, the person contracted to do the work. But – we've never had that opportunity to do that together and make it like have it be ours. And I feel like not only would that be so much fun, he would like steal the show on my channel. I probably would lose my channel to him, to be quite honest, because he's just too charismatic. But I actually told him, like, if your head gets any bigger, it won't fit on my camera lens anymore. And like, it's just not, it's not going to be pretty. But I think that would be way fun.
I think parents doing cameos on people's channels is always hilarious.
Oh, wait for it. My grandma's making one soon. She's all excited.
Oh, really?
She's like, I'm going to do my makeup and my hair. I can't wait. I'm like, I'm so excited.
Original Huntress.
Oh, she's going to steal the show. I just know it.
Oh, my God. That's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait to see that.
So, and she's like, she's just such a ball of energy. Like, she's just the best. So she's an artist. She's like, that's what she did. So she does a lot of painting stuff. So we're going to be doing some custom artwork for like this project together. And I'm really excited to get her involved because I definitely, my artistic creative side comes from her 100%.
It all makes sense now.
Right?
Like, that's incredible. I can't wait to see that. And I mean, the content's been very consistent last year. Like, you've really been crushing it. It's been just so great to see you like not even miss a beat at all.
I appreciate that.
You're really like, you leaned into it. And then the new house is coming along. You're finally getting all this stuff done. You know, the kitchen's finally done after like half a year.
I thought that was going to be the end of me. Like, I was like, this kitchen's it. Like, that's it. I'm done after this. Like,
I'm retiring.
There's no coming back. There's no coming back from this. It's bittersweet because, yeah, like, the house is pretty much almost done. But, you know, like, there are a couple things I obviously want to revisit. Like, you know, my guest room was the first room we did, but it had to be done quick because we needed a place to sleep while we were, like, living in the shell of a house. So, like, I want to get back to that and, like, do it the way that I want, or... like, our basement's not done yet. I still haven't finished my workshop, which I swore would be the first thing I did when we closed on the house. So.
It looks decent, though. It's better.
Yeah, I mean, it's functioning.
It looks decent from what she shows you.
Yeah, fair enough.
From what you can see.
No, like, that's what it looks like right now. It hasn't changed in forever.
I was trying to help you out, too.
I mean, because you moved in. You actually, were you able to even use it in the beginning? Because I thought you had to do some work to it.
Okay, yeah.
Before you like set up.
So, it was like half stocked with kitchen cabinets for a while. So it was like half storage, half garage for a while. And then when I finally was like, okay, we're doing this, and I started demoing, it was just like, you know, in a way, I'm grateful that we found all of the major problems in our house in the garage and not the house. But it was like infested with black mold and rot, and like all of the sheathing was rotted and like wet and like crumbling like cardboard, like some of the 2x4s and the sill plate. Like, it was just the roof, like everything. I ended up basically having to tear the entire thing down to the original studs and then rebuild it from there, which was like a huge cost that like I did not factor in. It was literally 2.5 times what I budgeted for my actual shop. And that's like,
and if I remember correctly, you got a crew in there. Didn't waste your time.
No, I was like, right? You know what? It was one of those things where I was just like, I can either spend months doing this by myself, because I do pretty much everything by myself, or I can get my contractor in here and him and his crew can do it in a month. And it ended up working better that way because the level of like black mold issues were so bad that it had to be like properly dealt with. And, you know, you don't want to like work in that every day. It's so unhealthy. So it really was so worth it to just have them come in and just do that. And then once they were done, everything else I was able to kind of start tackling, you know, like the floor and the custom cabinets, and have some ideas for like artwork in there. I got to do an outfeed table. But yeah, of course, we've been in the house for 2 years. And when we closed on the house, I was like, this is going to be the first project I do. And like 2 years later, Sean's like, reality really just got me on that one.
Well, that's the way it goes, doing any kind of DIY projects or whatever. I mean, nothing ever goes to plan, right?
No.
There's always a wrench in
there.
And
even though like that was the biggest thing too, going full time, I was like, well, now I'm going to have so much time. All these projects are going to get done so fast. Wrong. So wrong.
Like, we have a plan. Nope.
Oh, God. My home office just took me over.
Good luck with
like,
that.
Yeah, forget it. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, should we, Dan, do you have any questions? So I kind of grilled Sam. I was like,
I've been listening.
You took all the questions from me.
I've been listening to so much true crime. I felt like I was on the witness stand. That was great.
Where were you the night of?
I do have a question. I have a question. Sam, what is your favorite show right now?
My favorite show right now?
We're going to get into it, Dan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
There's a genre of shows that I'm so hooked on that people would be so disappointed in me for.
Do tell.
I am
just listening.
Okay, so I'm going to preface this with, I like these shows because I can have them on in the background and like do other things. And even if you don't pay attention, you still kind of know what's going on because it's that much of a shit show. You know what I'm saying? So like,
it's mind numbing.
I live for it. So like, I am obsessed with like reality TV dating competition shows. I don't even like reality TV cooking shows sometimes get me too. There's something, you have to have like an outcome at the end. Like there has to be like a winner at the end or like a solid outcome. There, I just need like, I need closure at the end. Even if I'm not paying attention, I just need closure. Like I'll often be that person who will like half listen to a whole season and then you get to the last episode and I fast forward through the whole episode just to see how the entire show ends. Like that.
Tell me how it ends. Like,
but yeah, there's just,
that's what people do to our podcast too.
So we have to give like a little a little like tidbit at the end that they could fast forward to.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's been my jam. I will have that on in the background all day and it just makes me so happy.
So I brought this up because during the pre-show, somebody in the chat brought up blind love. Love is blind.
Yep.
And I'd never heard of this show, and your eyes lit up, and you and Pete and like several of the commenters and chatters were like going off, and I just found that fascinating that's like your jam.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what it, like I don't fully know what it is like about these shows.
We're not judging you. We're just...
No, I'm telling you, like...
I am 100% judging her.
Yeah, well, this is a judgment zone, so I definitely anticipated this. But no, but like, for real, like, I sit with myself sometimes, I'm like, why do I watch this crap? And not only why do I watch this crap, why do I love it so much? Like, why am I addicted to this? But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's like the drama or the personality types or like... I don't know what it is, but by the end of a season, I feel like I accomplished something.
I don't watch the dating shows, believe it or not, but I did get really addicted to a show on Peacock. I think it's called the Traitors. Mm.
The Traitors?
It was very backstabbing.
Is it a reality
and that
show?
Was like the whole,
and you're
it's
all
a reality
about
show.
Oh my God, it's going on my watch list.
It's all about like... just being a traitor and trying to get people to believe something that's not true. It was
traitor
really
isn't like day trader stocks or traitor.
No,
is in
traitor.
Like, oh, like traitors. I'm just imagining a bunch of like caddy backstabbing day traders.
We were talking about trading places earlier. I'm just trying to clarify.
I don't know if that's the name of it. Now I have to think. Now I have to look it up. I think it's called The Traitors or something like that.
You know what I did? I did actually watch on a plane.
It's a great show.
On a plane recently, I watched like a whole it was like back and forth. I basically watched like a whole season of Survivor, and I was like, now I understand why there are so many seasons of this. It's so good.
Why there's so much hype. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Traitors. It's on Peacock.
I'm watching that next.
Well, season two is coming up.
I love when there are multiple seasons.
Well, remember back in the day on MTV, there was all those like challenge shows or like...
Yeah, like Real World. Real World Austin was like the best show on TV.
And then you had Road Rules, mm-hmm. and then they did the like Clash Survivor mashup where they had to go up against each other. I'm not gonna lie, I watched that trash for many seasons.
See, like there's something about it.
That one where Flavor of Love. I think we brought this on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but that was so good. Like, so cringy.
Kid Rock, the Love Rock, what I forget what the name of the show was. Kid Rock's Love Story Show, whatever. That was another one.
Never heard of that one.
Oh no, there was one that's like Flavor of Love, but it was Kid Rock. A Kiss of Love or something like that. I forget the name of it. Whatever. It's terrible. Awful. I don't even know why I'm trying to like bring up the
name. I bet
name.
You it's great. Never and I would it. Totally watch it tomorrow. Just
you
saying.
Probably would.
All right, I had to throw that in.
No, jeez, I appreciate it. Well, should we do a quick little what's on a bench? Yes.
Let's do it.
We got some time.
Yes.
I don't think we had too busy of a week. Let's do it. So let's play this little thing.
What's on my bench?
So Sam, why don't you tell us what's on a bench for you this week or this month? Because your projects tend to stretch out a little bit.
Oh my God. Why do I do this to myself? Because
you love it. You love pain.
I do love it. Like I really, I love it. It's my own form of reality TV show. in real life with a really great outcome.
Watching yourself
every time. No, I. That's
what's this dumb girl gonna do this week?
Although I have to say, after editing my video, like doing final edits for my videos, I'm like, well, I'm never watching that again. I'm getting my grandma involved. So she just moved up here from Florida, and she is like currently staying in my little brother's like old bedroom. So she needs a space of her own. So I'm going to be renovating his bedroom to be her new bedroom and getting her involved in the creative process. So like super excited about that.
Oh, that's going to be super
fun. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
You want to come help? I need help. Let's go. You're flying in soon anyway. Like, come in a couple days early.
You're going to LaGuardia anyways. It's only 45
minutes.
You know
what? Like, I usually don't love picking people up from LaGuardia, but I'll get you from LaGuardia if you come to help.
Dan, you got the green light. LaGuardia. She really cares about LaGuardia.
I think it just boils down to Pete doesn't want to drive to LaGuardia.
I don't think you realize how much it means that she'd be willing to drive LaGuardia.
That is a big... Like that is like a love language type deal. Like, I will drive to LaGuardia for you. Like I don't say that to
I will people. Demand bacon, egg, and ham bagels with barbecue sauce.
Whatever you want.
I will make you the following morning. I already got bagels ready. They're frozen. They're ready for
no
you.
No ketchup.
I'll probably get disowned from the bagel store I go to every week, but like I'll do it for you.
Good. Bacon. Ketchup is the devil.
Okay, I'll put barbecue sauce on it. That's fine. All good, man.
Good.
It's okay, baby. All right. I'll feed you. It's okay.
What about you guys?
Dan, how's your week?
My week has been fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Go on. Are you stalling?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want more?
Yeah.
I'm actually all caught up with my Etsy orders.
Oh, nice.
And I got caught up last weekend, like the day after we recorded. And I've kept it at 2 to 3 orders in the queue, which is very, very low for me. Usually there's like 30, 40, or 50. And I've got it all caught up. As soon as orders come in, I do them and ship them out. And it feels good. I might get my star seller rating back.
Oh,
guys.
Look at you.
It was big. Wow. It was big. Well, I didn't want to have the anxiety of all those orders hanging over my head while we were at Maker Camp. So I've just made it a goal of mine to get up every morning and do the orders and then work on whatever the hell I want.
That's awesome.
Speaking of, I was dabbling, as I do sometimes, with a coffee table kind of design, and I designed some legs. And I think tomorrow I'm going to try to actually build onto the legs. Because you can't just have legs. You got to have a whole base. You got to have a top. So I'm going to try to design a base around the legs that I made and kind of go from there and see what happens. I have no plan whatsoever. I'm just kind of winging it and just kind of doing as I go. So I'm kind of giddy about working on something other than like an Etsy order. So
sometimes it's cool. Sometimes all like the organic that. Projects are the most fun, right? Like you just have fun with the process and you learn some new things.
I have no drawing, no idea what this is going to look like. I'm just going and seeing what happens. So follow along, kids. That's it. That's my week in a nutshell.
That's your week.
My week in a nutshell. Pete.
I get it. What movie is that from?
Austin Powers?
Yeah, that's what it is. So our week kind of started out a little sad because we had this like pseudo storm roll through last weekend and it canceled a bunch of events. So like we had a vendor event on Saturday that got canceled and we were going to head down to the Pine Barren Makers Fest and that's that right. got canceled. I so know. Pat and Carlina ended up postponing it to this weekend. And I can't make it. Emma's got an event. I'm going away to Maryland. And so like, it's a real bummer, but they were able to
you better come back by Thursday though.
I'll be back. Yes. I'm just going away for the weekend. It's okay, Dan.
Okay.
It's okay, buddy. I got you. I'll pick you up. But you know, we're bummed out cause we're really looking forward to going down there. Like Ben Myers was down there. And a couple other makers that we like been messaging with like, yeah, we're so excited to see you guys. We only see them like once a year or I've never met and we're just friends. So it's a bummer, you know, because all these events are really fun to like get to see the people that you interact with daily or once a week or whatever it is. So the canceled storms was kind of a bummer, but we got a new roof on our house. We just pulled off because we bought our house 2 years ago and it's a new construction-ish. It's 23 years. So our roof was kind of looking rough. We finally had to get it done and like six houses in our neighborhood.
2000.
Yeah, there you go. So six houses like bundled together and we got a really good deal on a roof and we're like, we might as well do it and like save a bunch of money. So our new roof is black. It looks really cool and edgy. And now Emma wants to paint the shutters and a front door and we have to redo the front porch. There's a lot of projects that appeared out of us doing a roof on our house.
That sounds so great. We've got
plenty of content to do basically around the house.
That reminds me.
Yeah, Dan?
I just saw something on IG. Speaking of like repainting shutters and trim and all that stuff. Did you see a couple weeks ago I power washed my garage doors and they look really faded and stuff?
Yeah.
I come across a product on IG called Garage Skins. They're just magnetic garage panels that you can put up on your garage door and it completely changes the look.
I've seen those. They're actually really cool.
I haven't seen that. I got to look that up.
Garage Skins. This is not sponsored. I'm gonna reach out to him tomorrow.
Get an affiliate code, yeah.
If you want to have a whole course on how to reach out to sponsors, so like
that. Way to shoehorn that in.
I can't just like be like yo, my name's Daniel and I got.
I mean, you
wait. So you're saying we can't do the Lindsay from Woodbrain approach and just like slip into their DMs while drinking a lot of wine at 1 a.m. in the morning? And just do a voice memo or video because that's her approach and it seems to work.
Like you can't because she's amazing. Like, of course that works. She's the best.
She's got that energy. You can't stop her.
I like, Lindsay, can you slip into my DMs after drinking some wine? Like, come on, let's hang out.
I tried that approach after chatting with her about it and I like tried it a couple times and I got some deals out of it.
Speaking of repeat guests, I think we need to have Lindsay.
Oh my God, yes.
She's the best.
Oh my God, I don't know where she finds all that energy. It's so much.
But it's so contagious. It's so contagious though. Like you just can't help but want to party. It's absolutely contagious.
It's great. That's the person you want at a party to keep everyone going. Yeah. You're not going home. Take off your jacket. Let's go.
Yeah, 100%.
And then she's gone. So we got a new.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't.
No,
mean to
it's fine.
You.
Just, no, that's
I'm, you reminded me of that, and I was like, ooh,
roof got done. We got the projects lined up now. I wrapped up those ice climbing tools. So it was like a production job for a buddy of mine to make these like ice climbing training tools. Wrapped those up. He picked them up. So we're getting paid for that. Yay. They already asked about a next batch. I'm like, let's talk.
Good Lord.
Give me a week. Let me figure out what I'm working on. But
how, if you don't mind, how in the world do they go through so many? Well, like
they sell a couple different versions of them.
They look durable as heck.
They are. Well, they sell them. So it's a product. So they sell them in
pairs. I thought it was just, for some reason, I thought it was something that they had in like.
Oh, they like burning through.
Training gym.
Yeah. No, they're not just like ripping through them. It's not like axes at a axe throwing place. It's just constantly replacing them.
Okay.
But, that job is done. So they got a different design that I did for them originally a couple years back. And they might have me do that. But it would involve me having to CNC a bunch of sheets of 1-inch Baltic birch. And you know how fun and loud plywood is. So imagine cutting an extra quarter inch of that, 1 inch of that stuff. I broke probably two bits doing that a whole job last time. And it's not fun because it's just loud and messy and... The dust collector filled up real fast. I'm just like, I'm not set up for like production stuff. The machine can handle it, but it's, I don't know if I want to.
Did you have the spindle on there when you cut those before?
I did. I never had a regular router. It was a regular quarter inch bit, but it was the 1-inch one.
Could you go up to a 3/8-inch bit?
Maybe. Actually, that's a good. You know, Dan, you're smart. I like you. You're smart.
I know.
He's a keeper.
But I got to see how much I would be able to do while maximizing the space.
I mean, you have the collets, right?
Yeah, I got the collets.
You can do half inch.
No.
But well, that might be.
You don't want to waste the material either because like, I'm trying to nest these things as much as possible.
But 3/8, you could go a little deeper and maybe a little faster.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. So that's a good point. I might look into that.
You're welcome. You're
welcome. Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
I'll take 10%.
But that's done. And the thing is, like, we've been. So I talked about having Emma help out. For like the last couple months now. Initially like she went full time with her business and helping me out with my business and it's been great, but like a lot of it, like first couple weeks was literally me like teaching her how to do everything. And there's still a little bit of that, but like initially it was like kind of not frustrating, but like kind of scary to like, oh my God, not only am I, is this not saving me time? It's not making money. And like, I'm wasting more time to like have to teach someone to do it. But now that she's learned everything, she's like taking initiative on all these projects. She's emailing brands. She's like just running things past me. Like, hey, I'm sending this to this person and doing this, or I'm replying to that. And when we have like admin days, like I'm kind of working, like I'm working my day job, but if it's like quiet, she's like next to me answering emails, sending out stuff. She's been helping us out with AWP and coordinating with Maker Camp.
She reached out to me today.
Yeah.
Was like, hey, I'm going to do this and this. And I was like, oh, cool.
She's amazing.
It's getting, she is, she's incredible. And like, you know, the initial part of it was like panic because like, okay, there's two of us now. We haven't doubled the income. Like, and like the primal panic mode goes into your brain. But then I started realizing over the last like 3 weeks or a month that I'm just not stressed out. I'm no longer, I've been in fight or flight mode for so long that it feels weird to be like, oh, this job is wrapped up. Cool. I'm going to take a day off. Or like, I don't have this impending anxiety of like, I have content due or something. It's been like, wow, like this is amazing. So it's, just because it's not making double the money doesn't mean there's no progress. Our to-do list is actually moving in a negative. Like it's going down instead of constantly adding to it. Things are happening. There's some brand deals that are actually happening. And for the first time, because we're not ones to talk to brands that much, Sam, like I don't reach out or I don't get that many inquiries about like paid things. A lot of times it's just like tool for whatever. We're now working with some more paid things
Hell
again.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
Hell yeah.
So like, oh, you know, it is literally like I'm seeing the potential now because I'm a 5 years from now guy. I don't want to just think about the next month. I want to think the next 6 months to 5 years. And I'm seeing the growth and the potential. And it's really exciting to see like, A, we're not stressed. B, we're seeing progress. So I just need to get off my butt and finish editing my YouTube videos because I hate editing. But it's I just need to get in a groove of it and get better with it because I've learned to actually really enjoy editing short form content on my phone. And I think I just need to find that same love in long form and I'll be very happy with the end product. Cause I mean, that's where the evergreen content is, right? You got to be on YouTube or have a blog or something.
Or
something,
have both.
Like Instagram's not evergreen.
No.
You know,
although
which is a bummer, so.
A new study came out that said that Gen Zers are using Instagram and TikTok as search engines over Google.
Yeah.
Which is and kind of concerning.
Really?
TikTok kind of does a really good job of that. Absolutely. Like there's times if I ever like want to see something like a short video on something or someone talking about a topic, I don't go to YouTube anymore or Meatloaf Recipe. I actually go to TikTok to search the thing.
And yeah, I've been doing that.
Yeah, it's actually remarkably good. People, you know, as long as they have good captions in there, it really does help out.
Well, TikTok now, like if you go to Google and you search for topics, TikTok videos do pop up now at the top of Google.
Do they really? I actually never even noticed. Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting. So, well, more, all the more reason for us to post more TikToks too. Maybe we're going to be searchable, especially posting DIY content. So that's my week. It's just been a lot of like wrapped up jobs. I don't know. I've been busy all week, but I didn't really like finish up any projects except these ice climbing tools. So, and I worked with Keith today. I helped him out shoot a little video, which was actually fun. I was his videographer. So that was
hashtag new side hustle.
You were the human tripod.
Yeah, new side hustle. Yeah, it's like, you know, honestly, like my friendship with Keith has been like, I really only like met him like person to person at Maker Camp last year. And then we like kind of hung out in November for, he was just like, I think getting rid of some material and we like hung out in a shop, chatted for a few hours. And since then it's blossomed into this like very mutual relationship. Like we help each other out. He needs help with a project. I need help with a project. He's selling a 3D printed product and I'm printing it for him and like he needed some help. And if I need some help, I can get him over here. So it's been like really, really nice. Nice to have a little support system in the area. Cause we got a great support system online, but we don't always
have
somebody
local.
It's nice
to have that personal interaction though.
Yeah. Like you got Nick and Brayden. Like, you know, it's nice to have some local makers.
They usually blow me off.
I know.
So, like they don't like me.
But, and then Sam's trapped on Staten Island.
Oh God.
Not Staten Island. Long Island.
Long Island.
So
one of those islands.
One of those islands.
No, but
why don't we so
Liberty Island.
Enough about me. Let's get into some questions. Because some questions for Sam. Before we do that, let's play this.
Oh, Black Betty, Ram Lamb.
That's our apparently our music for this. And let's see, I think it's this one. This is from Kimani.
Hey guys, it's Kimani. First time listener, long time caller. Hey, so my questions are for Sam. And I have a few. So number one, Sam, could I get a nice loud let's go so I can update my ringtone?
Time out. Before I do this, this is the best thing ever. I'm just living for this right now. Ready? Let's go!
There you go. Come on.
Oh, so excited. All right,
let's go back.
Number two. We've been looking at redoing our kitchen for a while, and the quotes we've gotten have been kind of crazy. So since you've, you know, redone yours and it's been a while, do you have any like advice or things to look out for, or like, you know, maybe like prices to kind of like stay within range kind of based on redoing yours? Our kitchen isn't that huge. You know, we like the cabinets, but it's just kind of like knocking down walls and stuff. So and the last one, and this has been a I know hot topic of discussion earlier this year, but do you think Nick Lachey and his wife should be removed from Love is Blind? So, you know, it's been hot in the streets, and you are uniquely positioned to know this. So that was all. Thanks. Bye.
I forgot that's why we started talking about
it. Yeah.
Let's talk about the kitchen first, because I could go on about Love is Blind.
Yeah, because that'll be a short answer.
So the kitchen, my biggest thing with kitchens is, like, if you're willing to actually get your hands dirty, you can save so much money. It is unreal. Like, when I demoed my kitchen, I talked about this in my kitchen demo video, and I don't remember the exact number, but I definitely, just by demoing anything that wasn't structural, saved like a couple thousand dollars just getting a container basically put in my driveway and demoing myself. The only thing I really hired out for in the entire kitchen was to take down a load-bearing wall, because I needed, like, you know, engineer stuff to do that, and the countertops, because I can't cut my own quartz countertops. Other than that, but everything else I did myself. And if you're looking to save money, I know he said that, like, his cabinets were okay, they don't mind them, then you can, like, definitely paint them. But if you're looking to replace cabinets, they make these, like, ready to assemble cabinets now that are actually really good quality. They're, like, the ones that I got were actual, like, 3/4 inch plywood. Like, they weren't particle board, they were really great quality that you can take 10 minutes to just assemble yourself, because they ship flat pack, and, like, because they ship,
where'd you get those?
At Home Depot. Like, they were just
really,
and they sent them in like 3 days, so it wasn't something that we had to wait for, which was nice. So, like, I highly, highly recommend that if it's,
and are they custom DIY. Sorry, because we're redoing our pantry, we're planning that out right now, and are they, like, custom sizes, or you just, you just pick your sizes?
Pretty much order them. They come in a lot of sizes. They're not custom, but, you know, what you could always do is order them just slightly short and then get, like, filler pieces to put in between the wall and the cabinets if they don't run all the way. But they came in a lot of sizes. They come in a lot of colors, and if you want shakers, they have shakers, flat panel. That was such a good option for us, because we were so on a budget when we first bought our house. But I highly recommend that. If you can save, like, the structural stuff, and if you're not comfortable with, like, electrical work or plumbing, like, save those things for the pros, hire them. But everything else is, like, you can do pretty easily now.
That's so, wait, let me just clarify this. So is what you're saying, and I just want to get this clear for everyone, is do it yourself?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let me write that down. Yeah. If that was too long to write, what would I write down?
I think DIY wine would work. Yes.
DIY.
Whine.
Wine. Okay. Before you get into the next thing, because I know it's gonna be a long answer.
No, it's not. It's gonna be a nice short answer.
But I have a question about the kitchen. Yeah. Because again, we're gonna be doing this stuff, and I have to paint a bunch of cabinets. You're an expert at renovating or restoring stuff and painting over cabinets and things. What do you recommend for like painting over kitchen cabinets or having to paint new ones? Because I'm going to have to do a lot of that, and I'm scared to paint that stuff.
Are they wood, or were they like pre-finished?
They're wood, and they're like glossy finish right now.
Okay, so you definitely...
Just natural wood
finish. What I would probably suggest is you could do a couple different things. If they're natural wood with like a glossed finish, you could get like a deglosser. which is essentially, it just strips the gloss off, and just that way you're not sanding forever and ever and ever. You don't necessarily have to like completely strip them in that case if you're gonna paint them, right? Because it's not like you're staining the bare wood. But at least by deglossing them, you're already just cutting out so much of the work.
Awesome. That's actually, that's a great tip. Yeah. Because I was afraid of having to sand all those quite a bit.
That's a lot of sanding.
Yeah.
Depending on, I don't remember what your cabinets look like exactly, but I know the way my cabinets are built, I could take the doors off and all the hardware off and just run them through my drum sander.
Yeah. It has like a little ornate profile. Yeah. So like, I just got that Surf Prep sander, so it'll actually be nice that for sanding perfect, all that stuff. Yeah. But I would love to actually take those doors and run them through a planer and take them down to be a flat face instead of that like little profile. But I don't know if there's any weird joinery in there, and I don't want to ruin a door, so we'll have to see.
Well, could you technically like fill them if you're painting it?
You are technically correct, which is the best type of correct.
Just another
so, option. I'm learning so much here. Just another option. All right, well, let's go to the important question. Do you think Nick Lachey and his wife need to be removed from Love is Blind?
The answer is yes. Survey says yes. They need to be removed.
Explain why, because
they are like, they do like these interviews in these like reunions after the show is over, and they ask such inappropriate questions, and they like drill people for the wrong reasons, and like they just make, you could see people get physically uncomfortable with their questions on set, and like that's a problem. So like, let's go, let's get someone new, fresh faces, get out of here. No one is happy with them. I understand why. Let's try something new, Netflix. Let's go. The people have spoken. There's even like a change.org petition to get them off the show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't know this was such a problem. Well, I'm glad we brought light to it. Yeah. Our listeners will really appreciate it. Thank you, Kamani, for bringing this to the forefront of
thank
the community.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes. All right. Next question is from Malcolm from Bossa Nova Woodworks, also the voice of AWP in the intro.
Hey guys, it's Malcolm from Bossa Nova Woodworks, and I'm glad to see Sam back on the show. Sam, you keep crushing it ever since you've gone full-time with your content creation. Congratulations and keep it up. Excellent job. So I have another fictional type of scenario question this week for all of you. If someone paid you to take a month off from all your commitments, supplied whatever materials, tools, working space, whatever you needed, sky's the limit, let you choose any project, no input or supervision, and you were not expected to record any content, what would you build? Oh, also in this fantasy scenario, they let you keep whatever you build at the end. So what would you do? Okay, see you later.
Man, what a great question.
Well, first of all, can we talk about the love? Like, I just feel the love. That was a lot of love. So let's start there. Thank you.
Malcolm is full of love.
He's the best. I'm so excited to see him at Maker Camp. It's going to be super fun.
Love it.
He actually won a ticket, so that's exciting.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, rigged!
So, Sam, why don't you answer that? So, if you had unlimited budget, and we had this debate earlier on in the pre-show where we talked about, we thought he was talking about just like any unlimited budget, whatever. I think both of our brains went to like, oh, I would make something really cool, but then it was like, you don't have to record it. And I was like, well, that's a waste.
Yeah, but okay, but he did say you don't have to. It doesn't mean that, like, I'm going to record this shit. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, I guess in your brain, you're like,
You don't have to, but we can. Like, or at least show it off and make some content around it. Maybe some Instagram posts.
My ego needs me to show this.
My ego's there too, Dan. Yeah, I know what you're saying. So what would it be, Sam?
Unlimited resources. Like, it would 100% be an A-frame cabin. Like, I would take a whole month, but it'd be A-frame cabin, like, in the middle of nowhere. And then I 100% would film it. Just like, I'm just putting it out there.
Would you seriously be able to get that done in a month, though?
Well, here's my thing. Okay. Here's my thing.
Unlimited resources.
Unlimited resources. You get to keep everything. Unlimited budget. So, like, you order everything you need for this thing, and you do as much as you can in a month, and you still have everything else you need for it.
Yeah.
Can you get an A-frame cabin from IKEA?
Could you?
I mean, there's probably a kit. There's 100% a kit.
A-framekits.com.
Like, Huntress Home Collection is going to be an actual home.
DIY A-frame kits.
Love this for us.
The logistics alone is amazing. But I mean, let's be real. Like, Sam, you could just put out like a little APB out there, be like, hey, I'm building a cabin next month. Anyone with experience that wants to help, come join me or reach out to me. Let's put together a crew. You can have a crew in a week. Yep,
I love this idea. Yeah.
Especially if it's a kit.
Well, I'm sold.
You could definitely get it done.
Since Sam stole my answer, I'm going to make an M-frame house. That way I have two A's.
Can you make a, oh my God, can you make like a tunnel that connects like the roofs so you can like walk through?
Oh, peaks?
Yeah, yes. You can, because this is
a breezeway.
A skywalk.
Skywalk, actually. Yeah, I guess. No, breezeway is, I guess, on the ground between a garage and a house, which I always wanted that. I thought that was, looks so cute. But
you can make it happen. You could put a breezeway between your house and your shed.
Yeah. Well,
do it.
Be far. Well, I mean, I feel bad answering with a building again, but for me, it would 100% be a pole barn or a nice, pretty pole barn, and actually get involved.
Is that where you build a barn? You put a pole in the middle.
It's basically just a regular barn, but I am inside
of the barn. That's exactly what.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And I would 100%, like, here's the thing: when we finally have the funds set aside and the time set aside to put a pole barn on a property, we're hiring it out because just I can get crews with a bunch of Amish guys on it that can put it up in a weekend.
In a day.
And then have it insulated and pour concrete, whatever. But like, if I actually had the resources, the money and the time, I would 100% tackle that project. If I had no other obligations except to do what you want for a month, I would want to build it. Cause I think it'd be super fun to do, but I'm like obsessed with RR Buildings and Kyle Stumpin' Horse. Like, I think that's his last name.
Yeah, RR Buildings.
Yeah, I watch his channel religiously, and it's
same.
He makes building one of those things like so look so easy. They built Jimmy's barn, and that thing just looks rock solid. Church. They just do such good work. So, anyways, I would build that, but I want one where it's like, I told Emma, like, Emma doesn't want like an ugly utility building on the property. She doesn't want like a ugly barn, and she thought it was going to be pretty. Like this like crappy looking like.
Like a giant chicken coop?
Yeah. And I'm like, no. Like, I want it to look like this. I started showing her some like Pinterest ideas, and it's going to have like a full length. So it's going to be a 30 by 40 shop with a full like 12 foot by 40 awning porch on the side where you can hang out with some rocking chairs, that whatever, you know. Great. Yeah. So like
a little fire pit, maybe.
I want the building to look like cute in a manly way, but like, nice. So like when people pull up, it's like, oh wow, that's really nice, and not be like, oh, is that where you keep the cows? Like, no, I want it to look cool.
New like genre of like home decor, cute and like manly cute.
Man glitter. But if that was out of scope, I would 100% want to put build some kind of tiny home on our property as well. So like when family visits. We got this lovely little house for you to stay in.
Go to the house.
In the shed with you, Ma. Dan, did you have another answer?
No. M-frame house.
M-frame house.
I'm 100% on M-frame house.
The M-frame house. I think that this is a new trend that you just started.
Yeah, might as well.
And honestly, Sam, I want to hear an answer if you can't do a building. What kind of project or projects or what would you like throw your heart into for a month to do if it wasn't
building an actual like house?
Instead of building a house, like what project would you throw yourself into? Like if you just had a month and genuinely could just like pursue the arts.
I want to take it
one step further.
I mean, like my winter project, which I wish somebody would fund for me and give me unlimited resources for.
We call them sponsors.
I really want to do a van conversion, like a Sprinter van or a Transit van conversion. Yes. So I'm pretty sure this is going to be my winter project because my other half does like pro cycling. So it's like we travel all over the place. I'm sick of paying for Airbnbs. We might as well have a little mobile house on wheels. So that's like, I'm very excited about it. But yeah, if I had unlimited resources, that would be great.
Oddly enough, mine is to actually remodel the kitchen.
Oh. I know. Yeah, I know you've been talking about that.
I really
need to do that. I know someone who just did one of those if you want some help.
Oh, do you? Do you have their number, or do they have a YouTube channel?
I think it's the DIY Wine Tris. I think
1-888 DIY Hunt.
Yeah, I desperately need to remodel the kitchen in our house. It's just, it's that old saying, you know, the cobbler's children have no shoes.
Yeah.
I'm always busy working on other things and I can't do anything for myself, basically.
So I think.
What about you, Pete?
For me, and this might sound silly, but I would pursue more artistic parts of woodworking and making.
Why is that silly? I think that's great.
Well, no, that's like, I want to make cute stuff. I want to try to make a one of those like beach sand charcuterie boards. Like, I want to like learn resin art. I think it's actually really cool. Like, I want to work with stuff like that. I want to try to just like try to carve lines into a piece of wood instead of just like doing straight lines. I'm a very straight line 90. I'm an angle guy. I can't like see flowing lines in a piece of wood, where and I have friends that like can just take a grinder to it and it looks gorgeous and it's got these beautiful lines. My buddy Glenn, who's like basically my teacher, you could say, in many aspects, he's much older than I am, and he taught me a lot of stuff, and he can like look at a piece and like see these flowing lines and draw things out, and I just can't do that. And to be able to like sit down and actually pursue that for a month and just like get out of your comfort zone. Like, no right angles, no flowing things. Do art, do weird things, and see what you can do. I would love to get out of the boring stuff.
Well, good thing the sponsor of today's episode is hosting an event next week where you can learn some carving and epoxy resin trips while hanging out with your friends at a campsite.
What? Oh, my God. She's a natural,
Sam,
Dan.
Do you want a job?
You guys tricked me. This was a job interview the entire time, and I didn't even know.
Well, I don't know about you, Dan, but she's doing pretty well.
Hey, do you want to be on a podcast? It doesn't pay crap.
What's your biggest weakness? I have no strength.
I say yes to everything.
Well, great answers. This is, and Malcolm, great question, yeah, actually. That was really nice. Last question is from our favorite Frenchman, from Thomas. And it's in French.
French.
On the bus, go round and round.
Hey guys, so lately I have been doing much more business to business work than business to customer client. And I wonder, do you prefer B2B or B2C? Do you do anything different for one than another? Maybe different pricing? All right, bye.
The music is so good.
So that's actually his sister. She plays the accordion, and she played that outro for
him. Shut up. That's actually amazing.
Yeah.
True story.
It's our fave.
And that's him singing at the beginning.
Yeah.
The wheels on the bus.
We've actually gotten copyright strikes like once or twice for the music he would play in the beginning. And he would work French in there. But, well, Sam, you don't really sell a lot of like products yet until the wine.
Hunter's Home Collection. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm mostly really just doing content right now and occasional one-off commissions, but like, yeah, it's mostly just content. Business to sponsor, B2S.
Ooh, B2S? I think they're Korean pop band.
Yes, one of my favorites.
Dan, what about you?
I would much prefer, not that I do it, but I would much prefer to work with other businesses just for the simple fact that like their budgets are typically bigger and the commissions can be bigger. So, but you know, along with that, you know, you're going to get more headaches. You're going to get more stringent like timelines. You're probably going to get caught up in contracts. I feel like we used to have a host on here that probably could have spoke a little bit more
yeah,
of that.
This is definitely a mic question.
Yeah. I would go with business to business just for the money. And I don't know, dealing with Karen-ish homeowners, not that that happens a lot, but like that wouldn't be much of a thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm in a dream world over here. Pete, what say you?
I'm going to give the Mike Coffee answer here. And that is the business to business is the best because those customers are, you know, if they reach out to you, they know the work you do. They're not going to be nitpicky. They need this done. And when you say sent the invoice, they reply back with invoice paid. So
yeah,
business to business, that's where the money is. That's sometimes the most boring, repetitive work you can do, unfortunately, but the money's in that. So if you're looking to make some money,
it can be repetitive. It can be repetitive. It could be a long-term thing.
Someone had just finished instead of a one-off thing, B2B thing and did repetitive stuff over and over and over again. It wears on you. It really does wear on you. And it takes,
it absolutely does.
It just, if you feel like you don't have your juices flowing, your creative juices flowing. That being said, I think the most fun work is customer work. I mean, most fun work is when you're being creative and you have like content that you're trying to create, like what Sam's doing. But like, I think when you get to be the most creative, when a customer throws a curveball at you and you have to figure it out and you get to like see their reaction and like really try to like, and there's money to be made in that. But like Dan, like you said, there's more hoops to jump through. Like that's all right. Keith does. Keith from KG Sawdust. Like he just does commissions and he won't take it on unless it's exciting. Like if it's super boring or he can't make a video around it or it's something he's done 100 times, he's just not going to do it.
Yeah, but that's the beautiful part of doing exactly that. Like for me, like I would prefer that. I would prefer to be able to be as creative as I want to be and like take on what I want to take on.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's nice.
That's the dream. That's the dream client. Somebody that hires you to do something and they have like a space or they just have an idea and they're like, I trust you. Do what you want. You do what you do. But I just need it to fill this space.
That's why it's so great. And, you know, we talked about revenue streams in the beginning. And like, if you have enough revenue streams, if you can pay your rent and eat meat that week, you're okay to just like take on fun work and say no to the stuff you don't want to do. And that's when I think you're the most happy.
Yeah.
Is when you're able to take on these little like quirky jobs that make you excited again about woodworking.
100%.
Good question, Toma. Heck yeah. And with that is all the questions from our callers and our listeners. I mean, we can keep going. Sam, what's your favorite color?
Gray.
I have more meatloaf to eat.
Don't fight.
Gray.
Gray is a color.
Gray is a color. I mean, is it really gray?
Yeah.
You like gray? Color. Yeah.
If I could be like that person who lives in an all gray house, I would.
I think gray is very trendy.
It just matches everything.
I think that would be really depressing.
No.
If it was all gray. Yeah.
No, there's so many different shades.
Like
of gray,
this is technically grayish behind me. It's like gray beige. That's literally actually what the color of the paint is called, grayish.
It's just diffused white. Yeah. It's nice.
That's just a bluish gray. Bluish
gray, see?
Blaze.
Blay.
Well, before we do the outro, Sam, if our listeners still haven't found you online or don't know who you are, where can they find you?
You can find me at DIY Huntress everywhere. but actually, yeah, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, kind of, Facebook. My blog, it's all DIY Huntress. We made it easy here. You can
and go really deep on the blog. Yeah. Go way back.
Way back.
If you really want to feel better about your content, just go watch my first YouTube video or like go dig deep into the DIY Huntress blog archives because then you'll be
goes
like,
so far she, back, you're seeing yeah, bangs. You're
like, if she could do it, I could do it. Like, seriously, that's just how that's going to make you feel. And I mean it. Yeah.
All right. I don't think it's that meme where like, if she can do it, I can do it. Well, that's awesome. And we're going to make sure to include the show notes. Link in the show notes for your new class that you're going to be offering. We're very excited for that. That's going to be launching soon. So stay tuned. And a huge shout out to our patrons and our sponsor Maker Camp. So if you guys are going to be there next week, we're super excited. Hopefully you're listening to this on the way to Maker Camp. And then in just a couple of hours, we can give you a firm handshake, a kiss on the lips, and a nice spank on the bottom saying good job.
And I'm giving you consent right now to touch my bottom.
I do not. And Sam definitely does not. So with that, Dan, do you have anything else to add?
No. my dog and cat just freaked out.
Yeah, they're all like,
nothing to add, but to piggyback on what Pete was saying, if you want to join the Matt Army for our patrons, go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. You can get signed up over there. With that, I think we are done.
We're done. Sam, thank you so much for joining us. This was amazing, as always.
This was so fun. I forgot how fun you guys are. I mean, like...
We appreciate that. We try. So we will see you in just like a week.
In person.
In person. Live in person.
Isn't it so nice we don't have to wait all the way till Workbench? Like, we get to actually see each other before then?
I love that there's another event. I honestly want a third one in like June, July to really break up the year. I don't know.
Speaking of Workbench, I forgot to mention that on my bench. I just bought my plane ticket to Workbench.
You did? That's right. Yeah.
I haven't bought a ticket to WorkbenchCon itself yet, and I haven't got my hotel, but I got a plane ticket.
We're still trying to figure out if we want to teach a class. Like, somehow.
You should. It's fun to teach. Yeah. I don't know.
Me and Dan have been tossing around the idea.
Do it. Peer pressure.
Yeah, maybe we'll toss it around.
Peer pressure.
What would we teach, though? How to podcast.
I think it was a small-scale manufacturing and all that stuff. Anyways.
I know. I was making jokes.
That's an episode for another time.
How to be charismatic gentleman.
Oh, you. you're a keeper. You can stay. All right, guys. See y'all next week in person. Love y'all. Bye.
Love you long time.
Bye.